Lord, we give you thanks and praise for our scripture readings today, which remind us, though, even though we have challenges and difficulties in this life, we are not to live under a spirit of fear. Be not afraid. So we pray through the grace of your Holy Spirit that you remove any fear in our lives about future things that are going to happen or things we're currently dealing with, and replace it with a perfect trust in you. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Good morning. Great to be with you and break open the Word of God. It's a privilege. And the title of this message is Be a Prophet of Hope. And in our first reading from Jeremiah, remember that song, Jeremiah was a bullfrog? Three Dog Night. Jeremiah is obviously encountering some resistance for the mission that God has given him. And, you know, people are trying to trap him through his words, and they're not very receptive to the message he has that they need to return to God. In order to have a peaceful and prosperous society, you cannot disconnect from the covenant God made with you through your ancestors. And so he stands truly as a prophet of hope, but he goes through this horrible crisis of faith, and you know the part where he's thrown in the mud cistern and wants to quit. Every time I speak on behalf of God, you know, something bad happens to me. I just quit. I'm not going to do this anymore. And then he says, I felt it well up in my bones. I was created for this. And so in the end of the book, he really triumphs as the prophet of hope, but he has to be willing to put up with resistance and derision in order to fulfill that vocation. And that's a message for us, too. A true prophet always stays true to the truth and the course that God has given them, especially when there's resistance. And one of the reasons there isn't a lot of renewal happening in the Catholic Church is because we so often seek our own pleasures and comforts, and we're not willing to make a sacrifice because we love Jesus enough to do that. So, well, this person's mean to me, so I'm just going to leave and go somewhere else. Is that what Jesus asked you to do? I thought he said, if your brother or sister has something against you, go to them and make up with them, reconcile first, and then leave your gift at the altar. And so often that's not what we do. So a lot of times our faith is very much based on getting along in a false sense and not really standing up for truth about, do I really love this person enough to speak the truth to them? So it's very important for us to recognize that a true prophet of hope always stands with the truth, even when it means derision and being at odds with someone else. And it just seems like in our world today with the woke culture and just political correctness that we so often just want to pretend we get along when we really don't. And it just creates a really false veneer of peace. And underneath it is kind of all this rage and anger and just waiting to explode in violence. And that's kind of what we see happening. So we want to make sure we're living out of our heart and saying, you know, I love you enough to speak the truth to you. We need to reconcile. We have something against each other. But I'm not going to compromise who I am as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, in order to give the pretense that we can just get along. I'm going to stand for the truth that sets us free, even if it means that harm will come to me or I'm just not going to be popular in the eyes of other people. And, you know, I just came back from Priest Days, and this was a very unique Priest Days because, you know, we're right in the midst of this Partners in the Gospel program. And again, they're planning on shutting down basically half of our parishes in this archdiocese. So it was very intense, and, you know, sitting at the tables with the brother priests, you know, some of them were very anxious and concerned about their future and the future of our parish communities. I am too, obviously, you know. I love St. Thomas, and they made a change and didn't tell me about it. So the configurations that they originally presented to me got changed. So when I opened up the sheet of paper in my folder, that's not what you told me, you know. So already it's kind of like, you know, why don't you just be realistic and work with the people on the ground with their boots on the ground and are living with the people in their parish communities and do a little better job of communicating with them because they know their parish communities and everything. But there's always a temptation to kind of have things come down from on high and so forth. So during our discussion, I brought that up. I just said, you know, hey, I don't like the way this is going. Whether it's going to be recognized or make a difference, stand for the truth, right? Even if you don't necessarily get the results you want. But we have to start thinking outside the box because what we're doing now isn't necessarily working. I told you about the confirmation last Saturday, two Saturdays ago, which was just a disaster. And then Michelle gave me the questions they asked. Why do I have to be in this class? I mean, no serious questions about how do I be a better disciple? How do I open myself up to the gifts of the Holy Spirit? You would expect somebody in their junior, senior year of high school to be more on a mature level, but instead, why am I in this class? Why do I have to get confirmed? Those were the questions that teenagers were asking. So I don't think they really get the fact that discipleship and the grace of the Holy Spirit and everything. But I'm not going to back away from it. We're going to have a meeting and address that and say, you know, we need to change some things in what we're doing with our preparation for confirmation and try to do a better job of really helping them understand the basic message of the gospel. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you love him? Are you trying to follow him? None of the questions had anything to do with that whatsoever. So we don't run away. We push forward. Amen? We push forward. But here's something that happened yesterday. So yesterday I had to attend a very, very sad funeral. It's a friend of mine I work in ministry with, and the daughter had mental illness and finally succumbed to that and took her life. So I had to go to the funeral, and lots of tears. But on the way to the church, there's a Lutheran church on the side of the road. And I've seen this before because I've gone to that church before on weekends. And they have prayer ministry. They have a little prayer tent. So there are all these sandwich billboards along the way. Hey, prayer ministry, come turn in here. We'll pray with you. Drive through prayer ministry. And there are like 10 of them on the side of the road. And so people were waiting under a tent to pray with people for their needs. And I saw a few cars pulling in. I was late. I would have pulled in, but I was late getting there. And I just thought how clever that is, that people are upset and distressed at things that are going on in their lives. Do you realize there was a murder right at the bus stop over here about 6-7 days ago? A teenager, 16-year-old, got shot and died in the hospital at the bus stop. My friend takes from Alaska Airlines all the time. I just sent him a text and said, I'll pick you up from now on. Don't take the bus anymore. So there are all these problems in the world. And so this faith community, this Lutheran church called King of Kings Lutheran Church in Renton, wants to pray with people for their needs. How many Catholic churches are doing that in the Archdiocese of Seattle? Zero. So I think the Lord is inviting us to think outside the box. We have wonderful news to share with people that the Lord loves us. And yesterday, sitting in that church with that funeral, I just thought, you know, he didn't promise he would shield us from suffering and difficulties. And that poor family going through this, two siblings, can't imagine the pain they're feeling right now. But I know he walks with us and he's with us. But I was just scratching my head during the funeral, like, why did this happen? It's just so sad. But I know the Lord is with us. So this church wants to be a sign, a reminder that God loves you, and you can't always intellectually understand why certain things are happening in your life, but he wants to step into your life and help you through those difficult situations. So they have this prayer ministry. I think we need to think more like that in our own church today, don't you? That people are suffering and hurting, and we just need to really say, hey, we want to pray with you for your needs and everything, because we know that the Lord loves you. And yes, it's a crazy world, and it's really spiraling out of control in a lot of ways, but we want to stand as a sign of his love and presence for you and your life today and the problems that you're facing. So let's be praying in the Holy Spirit for creativity, that we do a better job of just kind of getting out of our comfort zone and thinking outside the box, because there are many challenges on the horizon. And I sensed a lot of tension and anxiety in the brother priest, because we just don't know what the future is going to be like for all of us. But we do know the goodness of God. Amen. Amen. And then one last thing. So we rented a house this year. Usually I stay in a motel room. And we decided to let's go together and rent a house. And you know, we had a holy hour together and everything. But one night the guys came over and played poker. Well, I don't play poker. I just like to push buttons and stuff on slot machines. So I said, and they tried to explain how to play it. And I just said, you know what? It's too complicated. I just don't have the intellectual power to do that. So I'm just going to stay here and make comments on your playing the game. So I did. And I combined music, and every time, like when someone lost a hand, another one bites the dust. And so all night I was just going on and on. I was in rare form. So the next day, one of the priests approached the MC for the Priest Days event and said, hey, Father Northup needs to be the new MC. He's really funny and he sings songs. So he approached me and said, hey, do you want to be the MC next year? I said, absolutely not. I'm basically a shy person, you know. 5, 7, 8 people at a table, fine, but 165 of my brother priests, no thanks. And then I can just see my humor is often irreverent, so I can see the next day getting a letter, you've been transferred to Forks, Washington. So I said, no, I don't want to do that. But I was invited to do grace, and then Father Frank, or Bishop Frank, came up and stole it from me. It's like, can you do grace before lunch? Okay, sure. And I had this all prepared, and then he just did it himself. So then the next night at the Jubilarian banquet, they asked me to do it. And I shared something with them, because before I got ordained, my father said, Jim, if you lose your sense of humor when you get ordained, I will disown you. I think he was serious. though I didn't lose my sense of humor. It's not quite as warped as his was. But in light of all the challenges, don't lose your sense of humor. You know, try to find joy in life and laugh when it's appropriate. I don't always do that, but I'm trying. I'm working on it. So I told him this joke that when I was in high school, we had our chemistry class, and there was a sign above the door, and it said, "Everyone brings joy to this room, some by entering, others by leaving." So I asked him to theologically reflect, which group are you in? But my chemistry class, I'm probably in the other group because I hated math and I didn't do very well at it. But don't lose your sense of humor. So yesterday during the funeral, Father Ed gave a wonderful homily, and he quoted something from St. Faustina about a despairing soul. And it was beautiful, but I found something else about trust, because I think that's what the readings are calling us to today. Do not be afraid. You're going to get resistance. You're going to have problems. Take courage. I've overcome the world. So this is something I found that I hope will encourage you in your own walk with the Lord. The graces of my mercy are drawn by means of one vessel only, and that is trust. The more a soul trusts, the more it will receive. Souls that trust boundlessly are a great comfort to me, because I pour all the treasures of my graces into them. I rejoice that they ask for much, because it is my desire to give much, very much. On the other hand, I am sad when souls ask for little, when they narrow their hearts. So Lord, open our hearts to trust in you through the challenges and situations we have on the forefront, that you are a good God and you promise you would never abandon us, and you've given us the Holy Spirit as our first installment of salvation. So fan into flame this wonderful gift and help us to stand for the truth that sets us free and to be prophets of hope. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.